Forward Momentum.
Forward Momentum presents Sea of Stars, Odyssey.
The Solar Federation is no more. The Earth is the possession of an alien species known as the Valbardan. The peace has been shattered, and the winds of war howl throughout the galaxy. In the galactic core, the Galman Empire teeters on the brink of collapse. Half of their mighty fleet destroyed by Valbardan betrayal, the remnants of the Empire have turned to Fleet Admiral Kine for leadership. Kine's response is simple. Gather the fleet, focus our might, and take revenge. Aboard his flagship, the Admiral is giving a briefing to the fleet captains before the upcoming offensive.
Captains of the fleet, this conference has been called to explain our strategy for the coming campaign and to prepare you for what is to come. The alien force, the Valbardan, who seized control of the Imperial Guard fleet, have conquered and literally contained the territories of the Solar Federation. Many of the ships they stole from us now guard the frontier of their new possessions. The positions of the rest are unknown at this time. Their actions during the theft of our ships and the engagement of the Solar Federation fleet indicate they have little or no grasp of fleet tactics. They prefer to swarm their targets with sheer numbers. However, we know they possess technology that will render helpless any ship that utilizes wave motion technology. This means we cannot close with their fleet for a direct engagement. They keep well within the interference range of the enormous Dyson Sphere they used to steal away the Federation. Therefore, we will strike using our subspace forces. From within pocket dimensions, they will deploy ahead of our main fleet's arrival in normal space. Once the snare is laid, it will be baited. A sizable portion of our main fleet will warp in, rallying just outside the range of the defending ships. Our fleet will fire several Planet Buster proton missiles. The big ones. At the Valbardan's Dyson Sphere itself. When the defenders reposition to intercept the missiles or attack the fleet, whichever, our subspace forces will strike. The goal of the sub-forces is not to destroy the enemy, but to break their formations, to force them to move away from the sphere itself. Once safely away from the effects of the sphere, our main fleet will attack in earnest.
Will we attack the sphere itself, outside of the diversionary action?
No, the simple fact is I will not risk a repeat of what happened to the Terrans, especially not when the whereabouts of the rest of the Valbardan fleet is unknown. I know that does not sit well with you. I would also prefer to openly plunge a dagger into the hearts of those who took so many from us. However, we do not have that luxury. Yet. But that time is coming. The Valbardan who did this to us and their Terran dupes. I swear by the blood they cost us that we will slay them all.
From the Journal of Jack Watts.
Well, it wasn't easy, but I have eyes on where they took my son. It's an old government storage facility several miles into the mountains. What little I could learn of the place said it was used to house mining equipment back during the Comet Empire occupation. After that, it was only used for storing survey and road maintenance gear. Behind a perimeter wall is a series of prefab buildings that have definitely seen better days. They brought Mark and several others in by truck. Mostly other civilians, but there were a few people in civil service or security uniforms. Even one big lug of a guy in a Federation pilot suit. I have my infiltration planned. I can see the way in, I just need to learn the guard's patrol patterns. Which means another day or two of watching. From the outside, I've only observed a few human personnel, and none of the Valbardin. They have a couple dozen RMEC X-31 Sentry androids deployed as guards and a rudimentary network of security cameras. 31s are easy, they're repurposed groundskeepers, really. This shouldn't get too bloody. My god, is this me? Am I really back to this again? I swore. The blood on my hands is still there. I haven't washed it off. Not in a year since Mars. Not one drop of it. No matter what comforting lies I told myself, it's still there. I reek of it. As fresh as the day I... No. Don't go there. This is for Mark. This is to free my son. I'll make a deal with the devil to get him back. Even if the devil wears my face.
In a corner of the Milky Way, the battleship Argo has been harboring at a rogue asteroid in interstellar space. During this time, the ship has undergone repairs and major fine-tuning to prepare it for the mission to come. Its crew, the Star Force, are also undergoing a similar process.
Crewman Haruna, reporting as ordered, Chief.
Come on in, Haruna.
Chief? Lieutenant Dobbs?
Have a seat, Susan. I understand that in your off hours, you've been helping Quartermaster Jimenez with a little side project.
Well, yes, sir. We've been using recovery drones as miners to harvest the material of the asteroid for raw resources.
Yeah, we know. Carlos said it was your idea.
Yes, Lieutenant. Carlos, me, anybody with helpful expertise, I've been helping by rigging additional cargo containers for molecular storage.
Okay, you convinced me, Chief. I think she'll work out just fine.
Work out? For what?
Since you've been aboard, Haruna, you've shown remarkable capacity to adapt and improvise. Now, we've also seen a huge uptick in your confidence. And even the captain's noticed.
Thank you, sir.
Susan, the point is we're reorganizing the engineering section. The chief here stays in charge overall, but I'll be taking over the actual engine room itself. He'll stay on the bridge and issue orders from there.
Makes sense. If there was a situation and you were caught between the bridge and below decks, it could get bad fast.
Exactly. But that's not all. Susan, we want to groom you as Dobbs' second. For now, shadow him. Help out wherever you can, but learn what he does and how he does it. Sound good? Ensign Haruna?
Yes, Chief. Wait, Ensign?
Yep, you've earned it.
A few moments later, now Ensign Haruna exits the Chief Engineer's office, clutching her new shoulder insignia in her hands and smiling in astonishment. She continues in that mode until she quite literally walks into Tommy Harrison in a crossing hallway.
Oof. Hey, oh, hi. Susan, are you... okay?
Huh? Oh, yeah, Tommy. Sorry about that.
What's wrong? You look like you're in another world.
Well, I just got promoted. I'm an officer.
That's fantastic. Congratulations.
Yeah, they just told me. Hey, Tommy?
Yeah? What was that for?
Celebration. You're right. That's much better without plastic in the way.
Back on Earth, dusk has given way to true night, and Jack Watts is preparing to take back his son when he notices movement in the tree line on the far side of the prison.
What the? Where's my binocs? Who are you, lady? She moves like she's had training. Yep, Cosmomarine, absolutely. Oh, good job with the laser tripwire. Wait. No! Not that way! Ah, hell!
My contact said the security here was light. But this is ridiculous. Okay. Gap in the guard pattern in 3, 2...
Halt!
Oh, crap! Don't shoot! Hands are up. See?
You will be taken to my superiors for interrogation and processing.
Actually...
Damage minimal.
Crap!
I am now authorized to use deadly...
Huh? Who the heck are you?
Who taught your advanced infiltration course? Kowalski?
Yeah. Why?
Because when I taught him, he made the same damn mistakes you just did.
Wait. You're Jack Watts?
Yeah, I was. Now I'm just a guy with a son inside this place, so I'm gonna get out of it. I'll help you, you help me. Otherwise, I'll knock you cold, drag your butt out of here, and leave you in the woods. Clear?
Yes, sir. My name's Liz Bishop. I'm here for a man taken prisoner at the Battle of Alpha, pilot from the Argo.
Nice to meet you, Bishop. Now, let's do this right.
Aboard the Argo, the mood is tense. Plans are being formulated to test the captain's theory, but for now, the crew can do little but wait. His duty shift completed for the day, Cade Morgan has returned to the observation dome. He looks into the infinite void and tries to find clarity within his own turmoil. The memory of his conversation with Thea Holtz and how it concluded is foremost in his thoughts.
Cade? You busy? Can we talk for a moment?
Oh, sure, Addy. What's on your mind?
Well, look, I'm not trying to stick my nose in where it doesn't belong. But you're both my friends, and you're both obviously in pain.
Thea told you what happened, huh?
Yeah. The poor girl was really shaken.
I know. I've been trying to keep my distance ever since it happened. I keep going over it in my head. And did I read the signs wrong?
Look, Cade... Thea told me this in confidence, so I'm hesitant to break it. But...
If you think it'll help her, tell me. It won't go any further.
Thank you. Thea told me that when she was very young, she lost her mother. Aside from a few hazy memories, she has nothing left of her in her life.
Yeah, Thea told me as much earlier.
Well, don't even get me started on her father. He's still alive, but... He was never there for her. Emotionally and literally. Apparently he's some sort of bigwig that's always traveling. She was raised by a nanny, and... Let me tell you, she wasn't exactly Mary Poppins. More like a prison guard.
Yikes.
Yeah. Understandably, Thea grew up pretty sheltered. I mean, she had to keep her emotions under tight rein all the time.
That's terrible.
Believe it or not, when I first met her a few months ago, she was even more closed off than she is now. And then, after your talk, just like that, she reverted.
Oh no. And it's all my fault.
No, don't think like that. I didn't tell you this to make you feel bad, it's just... Look, I know you think keeping your distance is helping. It's not. You need to go talk to her.
Yeah, I should. Do you know where she is right now?
She's down in Holography, room 3.
Okay, thanks. And, Addy, Thea's lucky to have a friend like you. So am I.
You're welcome.
Cade quickly makes his way down to the suite of Holography rooms. At the door to number 3, he presses the chime button. A moment later...
Yes?
It's Cade. May I join you?
All right.
Cade steps from the corridor of the Argo onto a beautiful white sand beach. The breeze is cool and gentle, and waves lazily lap the shore, and the soft cries of seabirds waft through the air. A short distance away, Thea sits cross-legged on a meditation mat spread atop a round stone overlook.
Thea, this is wonderful.
It is a recreation of my home on Earth. The house is just past those trees, on the other side of the hill.
Wow. I can see why you made this program.
I come here to meditate. to think when things are bothering me.
Yeah, about that. Can we talk?
Of course. Computer, please add a shaded table and 2 chairs. Thank you. Please, Cade, sit down.
Thanks. Listen, about the other day. I'm sorry if what I did wasn't welcome.
No, it's not that.
I was hurting a lot. I took your actions as an offer of support and comfort and... Look, I don't have a lot of experience with dating and stuff, I mean.
Neither do I, as I think my reaction demonstrated.
I like you, Thea. I like you a lot. But if you don't see me that way...
I believe I have heard Addie refer to that idea as the friend zone.
Yeah, it would be. But I'm serious. If you want me to be a friend, I'll just be your friend.
Cade, truthfully, I don't know what I want. You say you're inexperienced. Believe me when I say you are a master of the craft compared to me.
Then, how about this? When you're ready, I'll be there. Until then, we'll both be here, as friends.
Thank you, Cade, for understanding.
Of course. Well, I'll let you get back to your meditating.
All right. Cade?
Yes?
About the kiss? I really liked it.
Me too.
Mark Watts has been having a difficult time of it. He has no idea how much time has passed since they brought him to this place. But for what feels like at least a day, they have been questioning him about his mother, about her mission, and her ship. Finally, nearly spent, the interrogators have him removed to his cell.
Enjoy the break, kid. We'll be back for you later.
Hey there, you okay?
PG, who are you?
Tyler Simmons. Guess we're cellmates. Here, let me help you onto the bunk.
Sure, okay. You a pilot?
Gee, did the soul-fed pilot suit give it away? Yeah, I'm a pilot. Fought in the battle at Alpha. But I got left behind. Freaking Barty's scooped me up and dumped me here. You?
The cops arrested me. Some trumped up stuff. Happened on... what day is it? I've lost track.
Why they want you? You're just a kid, right?
Mom's a soul-fed officer. Madeline Venture.
You're Captain Venture's son? I was on her ship, the Argo.
Small galaxy, huh?
So what'd they do to you?
Nothing like the movies. No drugs, no torture. Two of the aliens, the Valbarden, were in there watching as this guy asked me questions. And every so often, one of them would say something in their language. My xenolinguistics teacher would love to meet these guys.
Could you figure out what they were saying?
Nope, not a word.
Remember.
Can't be.
NX-31's task log and AI core are located at the base of the neck in the back, aimed at the top third of the center mass if facing directly.
No freaking way.
Mark, thank God.
Dad?
Come on, big guy. On your feet.
Lizzie!
Tyler, call me that again, and I'll leave you here.
Hook some reunions later. Pilot, are you proficient with a rifle?
Yeah.
Good. Here, they're the guards. I'm point. Miss Bishop's tail, you two in the middle. If my son gets hurt, pilot, I'll shoot you myself.
Understood.
Wait, Dad, we can't leave yet. This isn't up for debate, Mark.
They're gathering info on Mom's ship. That's why they brought me and him here. You gotta get me to a computer on their network.
Alright, change of plans. Same order, though.
There's one nearby, right at the T intersection. 2 corridors down and hang a left.
What are you doing, kid?
Getting a memory core out of this dead android. Gotta have something to store the data on.
Right, let's move!
Several tense moments later, they arrive at a data terminal. Mark quickly sets to work as the other three assume positions around him.
This'll just take a second. Huh, non-standard architecture. These are all their databases.
Can you make it work?
Sure. Their language is even simpler than ours. Morphology, phonology, it's all mathematical to them.
I thought you said you couldn't understand it.
I lied. I didn't know if I could trust you.
Let's talk more techno stuff I don't understand.
Yes, sir. Got it. Now we leave them a quick surprise. And wipe the master files.
Come on, way out's over here.
5 minutes later, a large, heavily armored transport truck bursts through the loading dock gate. Sentry androids open fire on it immediately, but the vehicle either shrugs off the blasts or runs the robots down. The truck smashes its way through the main gate, roars down the access road and onto the main highway.
Nice driving, old man.
Old.
Thank the man, Tyler. He just saved your life.
So what's the plan now, Dad?
We take this road to a ditch point 2 miles up. We send the truck ahead on automatic while we hike to another vehicle a click and a half into the woods.
Do you mind giving us a lift, too? My sisters are at a camp a little way south of here.
Mary and Cindy? Oh, tell me you didn't, Liz.
No problem, Bishop. You got a place to lie low after that?
Not yet.
You do now.
The Argo deployed search recon drones after docking at the asteroid. The drones constantly gather passive sensor data about the local space area, occasionally switching to active scans for a more detailed look. The information they gather is sent via tight beam signals back to the ship, where the big picture of the ever-expanding sensor web is collated. Up on the bridge, radar and analysis officer Addie Beaumont receives a report.
Sensor echo. Bearing 120 by 32 by 14. Distance 12 megameters.
Identify.
Working. No active emissions. There's definite heat sources. They look like idle reactors.
Silhouettes coming through now. Common warships!
No life signs. They aren't under power. They're dead in space.
Curiosities. Could these be Blues, then? Valbardan ships, not Gollman?
Probably. Launch the alert fighters off the stern catapults. Have them investigate, but be ready to bug out at the first sign of trouble. Bring the ship to yellow alert.
Yellow alert! Yellow alert! All hands to stations! Hangar Bay, launch alert fighters!
Captain, what are you thinking?
If these are Valbardan ships and they're idle, then we just found exactly what we've been looking for.
You've been listening to Sea of Stars, Odyssey, Episode 11, a Forward Momentum production, based on the anime Uchu Senkan Yamato, created by Yoshinobu Nishizaki and Leiji Matsumoto, and Star Blazers, which is copyright Voyager Entertainment. Heard in this episode were Josh Lambright as Admiral Kine, Stay Holland as Jack Watts, Carly Walker as Susan Haruna, Alex Alesperu as Tommy Harrison, Holly Linden as Liz Bishop, Shannon Hobby as Addie Beaumont, James Baylog as Cade Morgan, Alex Tran as Thea Holtz, Thomas Drake as Mark Watts, Devlin James as Tyler Simmons, Jessica Osborne as Madeline Venture, James Cleveland as Pulsar, Coor as Reginald Montgomery, April Jensen as the Android, Jade Wilson as the Gallman Captain, and Sean Benveniste as the Guard. This is Kyle Akers. The episode was written and directed by Devin Cox. Music for the series comes primarily from the soundtracks of the anime Uchu Senkan Yamato 2199, based on themes composed by Hiroshi Miyagawa and Kentaro Haneda, as well as new works composed by Akira Miyagawa. Series-specific sound effects were drawn from The Quest for Iskandar and Comet Empire DVD box sets, as well as the Sound Fantasia Yamato CD. Sea of Stars Odyssey is a non-profit fan production, produced for the enjoyment of the fan.
All rights to Star Blazers, Uchu Senkan Yamato, or any other copyrighted works mentioned or inferred herein, including any unoriginal music and sound effects, remain the property of their rights holders. No infringing claims are intended.
The struggles within our hearts can rage with more fire than even the wars we face together. Similar obstacles can lead to wildly differing paths and the isolation of sorrow. But out of such conflict come those feelings which bind us together as a people. Next time on Sea of Stars Odyssey, Episode 12, The Face Beneath. The longest of journeys begins with but a single step.